VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk, coming your way from VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, when you look at what's being spouted off on university campuses today, when you hear some politicians speak condemning Israel for taking direct action to protect herself, when you observe the United Nations resolutions coming out against Israel, when you see the growing number of legacy media stories scolding Israel, it's as if October 7th never happened. It's as if the barbaric massacre of Jewish citizens never occurred. Can we refresh your memory? October 7th, a Jewish holiday was underway when Hamas launched an assault by air, land, and sea, massacring over 1,200, taking 240 Israelis and foreigners hostage. The group behind this was Hamas. But friends, that's not Israel's only threat. Just today, over 100 rockets launched from Lebanon into northern Israel. The attacks are regular. The sirens are sounding many times a day. Well, joining us today on the latest concerning Israel, of course, Ramadan, and an eye toward Bible prophecy, we welcome back to our studio Dr. Richard Schmidt, pastor of Union Grove Baptist Church, founder of Prophecy Focus Ministries. He is speaker on the weekly television program Prophecy Focus and the radio broadcast Prophecy Unfolding. Has spent over 3 decades in law enforcement, has authored several books that you've heard him on Crosstalk, Are You Going to a Better Place?, Daniel's Gap, Paul's Mystery, Tribulation to Triumph, The Olivet Discourse, Globalism, the Great World Consumption, and Artificial Intelligence, Transhumanism, and the De-Evolution of Democracy. Dr. Schmidt, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I'm looking forward to the program.
Are you concerned that there are those who have lost the remembrance of what happened on October 7th?
Well, it certainly seems to be the culture of America right now and even around the world that people are forgetting what actually took place on October 7th. As a reminder, 1,200 Jewish people slaughtered in their homes, just people that came in from Hamas that just performed unbelievable atrocities against ladies, women, and children, things which are so unmentionable we can't even put them on the air. We've got to get back to remembering why this war is taking place.
We are right now in this war observing Swords of Iron. It's been dubbed that by Israel, their war against Hamas. We're now in the 23rd week of this Swords of Iron. What are some of the observations you have as to some of the current matters that are unfolding in Israel?
Well, of course, the media is putting out all sorts of different things regarding what allegedly is horrible atrocities that Israel is now playing against the folks in Gaza. Well, the fact of the matter is, and I think it's amazing, they're talking about some 30,000 individuals that have been killed in Gaza, and we're looking at it's such a small number. When you look at this, is 6 months of absolutely heavy bombardment. The Israel people, the Israel Defense Force has been warning people ahead of time, just as what's taking place, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, Rafah down in the southern part of Gaza, which is really going to be under attack in the very near future by the Israel Defense Force, they're doing everything they can to try and move people out of harm's way. So, of course, it is war. There's going to be casualties. It's unfortunate. I mean, nobody is happy when innocents are killed. But it's still a very, very strong war that has to take place despite all the rhetoric and the hard times, actually, that even our country is basically threatening Israel with.
Can we trust these numbers? Are they verified numbers, the 30,000 that you mentioned?
Well, again, there's different agencies giving different numbers. One thing we know for certain, there's been 250 Jewish soldiers, Israel Defense Force soldiers that have died in Gaza. The numbers that they're claiming, it's actually 31,000. They're claiming that maybe a third, maybe a fourth at most, are actually soldiers. But this is all coming from the Palestinian side of things, so we have no idea what the real numbers are.
Let's bring President Biden into the picture here and your reaction to him. Do we have a man that acts one way in front of the camera and another when he's forgetting he's on a hot mic? And I ask that because at the State of the Union address, as he gave that address, and then as he goes out into the aisles and greeting his legislative supporters in the Capitol, he said that Netanyahu and him would have a, quote, come to Jesus moment. Your response?
Well, I wish he'd have a come to Jesus moment, quite frankly, and I mean that literally, where he'd come to Christ, which would be a wonderful thing. But yes, there's a serious dichotomy in what he's saying. On the one hand, he's saying, yes, we're going to support Israel, we're going to take care of them, and on the other, he's making threats that he's going to pull support if Israel doesn't back off on their attack. So definitely it's a pluralistic concept. Which one is the truth remains to be seen.
Yeah, Prime Minister, Netanyahu, seems really undeterred by what President Biden says. He, in his response to this, he said, look, it's either Israel or Hamas. There's no middle way. I mean, we have to have that victory. We can't have three quarters of a victory. We can't have two thirds of a victory because Hamas will reconstitute itself with these four battalions in Rafah. And then went on to say, we can't let Hamas survive. I'm telling you that we're not getting off the gas. I mean, we're going to continue to pour it on.
Well, let's assume that the numbers are correct as far as how many Hamas terrorists exist in Gaza. We've heard numbers between 30 to 50,000. Now, if only, according to Gaza, 10,000 of those terrorists have been taken out, that means there's 20 to 40,000 terrorists still there, which means Israel's a long way from claiming victory against Hamas. So the bottom line is Israel has to keep on. They have to keep pushing until they wipe out those that wish to wipe them out. It's just part of safety, if you will.
Some are indicating that President Biden is seemingly supporting Israel but undermining the prime minister, even trying to collapse Netanyahu in the idea, the midst of this war going on. We know that Israel is put together by a coalition government. We've got so many different, though the Likud party is the majority party, yet they need the other factions to come alongside them. Any thoughts on this? Do we see some working behind the scenes to try and collapse Netanyahu himself while continue to support Israel?
Well, again, you well stated that there is quite a difference, an eclectic group of individuals that currently are in the Knesset, which, of course, is like our Congress, and there are going to be differing opinions. Well, I don't know that President Biden specifically wants to take Netanyahu out, but definitely he's trying to force him to make decisions that certainly are against the better interests, if you will, of Israel. How that's going to play out, it's very interesting, of course, especially with some of the things America is doing. And I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about the humanitarian aid that we're bringing into Gaza. So again, why are we making a massive effort, very expensive effort, to basically help the enemy that supposedly we're trying to help Israel take out?
Yeah, and really that's next on my list here is humanitarian aid. So we have these airdrops supposedly are coming in, and we understand the president is critical of Netanyahu's armies and so forth and the innocent civilians killed. But even the airdrops, we understand, have landed on civilians killing them. And now we also have the talk of this floating pier idea out there. So address the humanitarian aid issue, if you would.
Well, again, America, especially this administration right now, is taking unprecedented concepts to try and help the enemy, if you will, of Israel. Now, I get it. And the people that are innocents, if you will, I feel horrible for them. And yes, they do need to eat. They do need proper things in order to live. And I applaud reasonable efforts to take care of those that need humanitarian aid. But again, when you look at the massive amount of things that are taking place, ships coming in from Cyprus with a massive amount of food, America is basically stating they're going to build this pier off the Gaza shore, a massive amount of food that they're looking at bringing in. In fact, America is looking at feeding every single person in Gaza every single day. That's 2.3 million meals a day. And, of course, with a national debt that's in the multi-trillions gaining every day, Again, here we go. And again, I'm all for humanitarian aid, but America is going bankrupt helping other countries, and it's not going to end up well in the end.
There's also been accusations against Israeli Defense Forces about these humanitarian aid trucks coming in and the IDF taking out civilians in the process.
Yes, well, again, unfortunate things happen when people are hungry. Some are reported to be literally starving. They're trying to get these goods. And the behavior of those that are actually being helped has been anything but civil and has resulted in individuals getting severely injured and, according to some, even have died. So, again, if people want help, which, of course, not just our country but others are trying to do, civility has to take place. And if it doesn't, yes, there's going to be tragic outcomes.
We're talking today with Dr. Richard Schmidt from Prophecy Focused Ministries, and certainly taking a look at Israel, and that we must not forget October 7th. Prime Minister Netanyahu has indicated that Rafah will soon be invaded, despite President Biden claiming that that doing so would be crossing a red line. Let's talk about Rafah for a bit and its significance.
Well, here's the most interesting piece about that. Of course, 240 to 50 hostages were originally taken by Hamas. Supposedly that number right now rests at 134, of which they are stating that 34 of those 134 hostages have died. Mm-hmm. So that means there's 100 left. Supposedly those hostages are held up somewhere down in Rafah. Well, the issue is, if Israel doesn't take strong measures to go into Rafah and try and rescue the few that are left, I mean, just think about it. One-fourth of the hostages that were left have died already in Gaza, and if something doesn't happen soon and if pressure isn't put upon Gaza, we're going to lose all 100 hostages that are left. So, I, of course, I'm no military expert, but when the people are dying, you've got to do something. You've got to keep eliminating the threat, which, of course, is Hamas. And Rafah is a stronghold right now that Israel has to take out if they have any chance of winning this war against Hamas.
There are many concerned that the number of Israelis and foreigners that are still hostage, that there are many that have perished and many that whom people are in hopes that they are still alive, but it may be a very grim situation.
Right. And again, when one-fourth is, it means documented as of today, 134 hostages' bodies remain in Gaza. 34 of those 134 have been stated to have died, which means they have the bodies somewhere hidden. So this is a tragic, it's a horrible thing. The families of those whose members, and they're not necessarily, some were military, most were not, but they're being held up. Of course, the families are absolutely beside themselves wondering about their loved ones. And if it was my son, my daughter, my mom, my dad, boy, you better go in there and get them. Yeah. That's exactly what they're going to do.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America. Dr. Richard Schmidt is our guest today, and we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about things like the two-state solution. I mean, we're told that this is the means that Israel must go. And yet the question is a two-state solution really a solution? Also, we'll be taking a look at Ramadan and some of the violence that is taking place against Israel, even the rocket launches that are happening on a daily basis to this area. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Again, Israel, we must not forget, October 7th. Back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does natural selection occur today?
Chris, God created each basic category of life with a built-in adaptability to various conditions. Natural selection can choose from the variety which best fits an environment. But note that this is not evolution. It's merely selection of genes which already exist. Nothing new has evolved. Recently, a population of island lizards was introduced onto a new island. In 20 years, they had adapted, and their average leg length was shorter. Evolutionists crowed that this was a great evolutionary advancement, but big deal. Natural selection had occurred, but not evolution. Natural selection is not a creative process. Creation, now that did occur by the supernatural powers of God back in Genesis.
For more information on science from a Christian perspective, visit us on the web at www.icr.org.
This is Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY American Network. Dr. Richard Schmidt is our guest, pastor of Union Grove Baptist Church, founder of Prophecy Focus Ministries, their website, prophecyfocus.org, prophecyfocus.org. You'll find a lot of information there, and not only on various resources, but certainly prophetic implications of the times in which we live here as well. That's prophecyfocus.org. So, Dr. Schmidt, we have President Biden talking about a two-state solution. We keep hearing this mantra over and over again. Is a two-state solution a viable solution?
Well, what I'm going to bring a little curveball in here. So we've seen multiple things have been happening in land that God had given to Israel. Where is Gaza located? It's literally part of the Israeli territory that God gave to him. We look at what's known as the West Bank, which is Judea and Samaria, which was God given to the Jewish people. What has been taking place, if you will, with these territories that technically have been independent from Israel, and it's been nothing but problems, wars, bombs, all these things that are taking place. So that's been a foretaste, if you will, of the alleged concept of a two-state solution. All right, so what are we looking at literally? Well, President Biden and many in government are saying we literally need to make a separate state, if you will, and name it so the Palestinians, Arab people, have a specific state. Well, it hasn't worked with the different territories so far, and it's not Israel bothering the Palestinians. It's the Palestinians making threats and sending missiles and so forth into Israeli territory. It just goes back to a biblical concept back in Genesis. Jacob and Esau separated. Ishmael and Isaac separated. There has been this long-term, multi-thousand-year issue, and it is not going to be solved until Jesus Christ comes back and sets up his millennial kingdom, Revelation 21:7. So the two-state solution is certainly not biblical. It will not work. Israel's not going to kowtow to it, and the Palestinians definitely aren't going to put up with it because they all believe they own all the land, not part of it.
I think it's important to, again, ask this question. Who elected Hamas to be in power?
Right, exactly. 2006, the people of Gaza voted for the, if you will, Hamas party to become the leaders of it. And since 2006, they remained in place. That's what the people want. That's what the people got. And now they're suffering for it.
Yeah. And so you're living, this two-state solution would require you to live next door to somebody who denies your right to exist.
Exactly. And it's interesting, it kind of light bulb went on recently. When we're talking about the Israeli occupation, which is what the Palestinians talk about, Israel is occupying the land. Many of the definitions have been, well, it just applies to some of the settlements that Israel has. That's not what they mean by occupation. They're calling Jewish people in any land of Israel as occupiers. In other words, the Palestinians say, you don't belong in Israel. Get the Jewish people out of here. Eliminate them. Annihilate them. And that's exactly what they're attempting to do. And of course, God said, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. Just a few days ago, Ramadan began, and some had worked for a ceasefire by the time Ramadan did begin. This season of Ramadan can often be a violent time for Islam.
Well,
not a time of peace.
Yeah, absolutely. Historically, usually the heads of the Islamic State, if you will, have been pushing extremely hard. It's a time of violence. Several people have been said, in fact, the top two leaders of Islam have come out and made it a very strong that they believe that Ramadan is to be associated with jihad. It's a time for violence. Now, I'm actually shocked, Jim, that since the 10th of this month when Ramadan officially started, and of course it starts in a couple other different time zones at different times, but I've been shocked that there's been no major terrorist incidents that have been associated with Ramadan so far. I'm holding my breath, but I will be shocked if we don't see something major take place within the time of Ramadan, which covers a one-month period.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the missiles continue to be deluged upon Israel. Just as we mentioned at the outset of the program today, Israel National News today pointing out some 100 rockets coming from the north.
All right, so we look to the north again. We're talking about Hezbollah now instead of Hamas. Hezbollah, and everything that I'm seeing, all the news that I'm reading, it really points to very, very close that, of course, the conflict has already started. Is this going to end up in being a full-blown war? If it doesn't, we'll be shocked, because it appears, based on the massive amount of rockets coming into Israel now from the north, which again is Hezbollah, war is right there.
Yeah. So when we talk about Ramadan and we have this outward observation that this is anything but a time of peace, that's just not our observation. That really is coming from the top religious leader. You've brought information with you from the top religious leader linking the two together, Ramadan and jihad. They're like brother and sister.
Right, absolutely. The violence that these top individuals want, these individuals that hold to jihad, that hold to, they've got to, according to the Quran, cleanse this earth, get rid of the Christians, get rid of the Jewish people, get rid of what they would call infidels, which would be me and you. And it's just part of the culture. It's part of the, not just the culture, it's their religion. It's what they honestly, truly believe in. So we're seeing this, and why Ramadan? And I think most people don't even know what Ramadan is, because most folks in America are not following Islam. But back in the time in the 7th century, Ramadan was supposedly the time when Muhammad was given the sacred book of the Quran. And, of course, now they're like, well, we need to follow the Quran. We need to take absolute measures to fulfill what it states. So these top individuals in the Islamic faith, so to speak, or religion are like, it's time to act, and the time is now.
There was also a message that went forth from President Biden and Vice President Harris to Muslims for Ramadan. Daniel Greenfield wrote in a column, it's to that they reached out to Muslims to express sympathy for the pain they're feeling at having failed to kill all the Jews. That's his observations, but here's the exact words. Quote, "The sacred month is a time for reflection and renewal. This year comes as a moment of immense pain. The war in Gaza has inflicted terrible suffering on the Palestinian people." Biden messaged those Muslims who are deeply upset at their failure to wipe out all the Jews here in this regard. But he said to Muslims across our country, please know that you are deeply valued members of our American family. And to those who are grieving during this time of war, I hear you. I see you. Vice President Harris said, I know that there is great pain in the community. What we are seeing every day in Gaza is devastating. She is empathizing. President Biden and I will continue to work to ease the suffering in Gaza and support the right of the Palestinian people to dignity, freedom, and self-determination. Their self-determination, by the way, allowed for Hamas to come to power.
They absolutely. And what we're seeing now is President Biden, who at the beginning was very, very strong, very pro-Israel, made strong statements and denounced Hamas, but it's not politically expedient in a year of an election to take a side. So, of course, and the president can speak for himself, but all you have to do is analyze what's taking place. Why all of a sudden is the rhetoric changing? Why all of a sudden is wiping out Hamas? Out of one cheek, he says, yes, Hamas needs to be eliminated. On the other cheek, well, we need to protect all of the people of Gaza. So you've got, again, we've talked about this pluralistic concept, this bifurcation in the message. How do you do it? Well, this is called politics, and we just got to state the truth. It's politics. Politics plays sides, and politics needs votes. And President Biden is suffering in the polls. He knows he's suffering. So he's going after every single political advantage he can get. And, of course, he's going to do what he's doing. And part of his motive may be sincere, but war is war. You don't go defending the people that you said need to be wiped out. It's almost boggling as to how you can play both sides of the fence like he's doing.
I saw a video clip this morning, too, that was really disturbing. Pamela Geller has it on her website. And this is a individual asking, why do Palestinians give birth to so many girls and boys? And a Palestinian mom responded, and she said, we give birth to so many children so we can push them to death to martyrdom.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And, of course, that's the Shiite concept. And I've heard this so many times, and I've watched testimonies just like you said, moms that are just, they can't wait for their child to be old enough to where they can go out and be martyred. And here's the major reason why mamas are saying that. Mothers who have children who are martyred believe that they will get a special blessing from their God, Allah. And it's basically one of the only assurances that a lady has who's a Muslim to go to heaven as if her child is martyred. That's it. Not like Christianity where God says, I love all people, come to Christ. They literally, if their child isn't martyred, it's 50-50. Who knows what the percentage is of them going to heaven.
And they also are receiving payments, I understand, as well.
Well, this is one of the atrocities that's taking place when the Islamic governments are paying individuals, family members of those who have killed Jewish people as well as those who are martyred. So it's a pay-to-kill type concept, a pay-to-be-martyred type concept. And unfortunately, let's just be straightforward again. Let's be brutally blunt. Money talks, and people are influenced by it. And if my child dies and I get money for it, if I kill someone and get money for it, the many folks are saying, count me in.
Also, friends, from Palestinian television, the Palestinian guest also interjected with a nostalgic story about his late grandfather. He used to say they, referring to Israel, they have nuclear bombs and we have offspring bombs, using their children, as we mentioned, for martyrdom.
Yeah. Isn't that just a sick concept?
Yeah.
You look at the tremendous, tremendous destructive power of bombs, and yet people, parents that should be loving their children and want them to live up to be productive, good, honoring citizens, yet instead are teaching them to kill. They're giving them guns when they're children, live guns, teaching them to shoot, teaching them to kill. Just a total antithesis of what God intended.
Also this morning, Robert Spencer Jihad Watch reported 58 graves in a French cemetery have been covered in Islamic graffiti, including phrases such as submit to Allah and another phrase, happy Ramadan.
Now this should get our attention as well. The anti-Semitic, anti-Christian, anti-anyone who's against Islam, quite frankly, is it's just acts of violence, acts of terrorism, whatever it might be. This is no joke with this group of folks, which is 1.4 billion people, allegedly, according to numbers. That's a lot of people across the world. Out of 8 billion people, allegedly 1.4 are Muslim. When you have that type of hatred, that type of violence that's associated with a particular group, that's a problem.
It is a problem. Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. A quick break and just a couple more comments, and then we'll be opening some phone lines on the broadcast today, taking your calls, your questions, your brief comments. So be ready to formulate that in your mind so you'll be able to participate in our conversation today. We also are going to be taking a quick look, though, as to the anti-Semitism that is continuing to flourish. Yeah, you see what's happening in France right now? And we've had warnings from men like Usama Dakdak saying this is coming to America. Watch what's going on in Europe. It's coming to America. And, friends, it is happening in America. We are seeing certainly the living laboratory of anti-Semitism on university campuses. So we'll touch on that just a bit and some more information. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Richard Schmidt, our guest, his website, prophecyfocus.org. We'll be right back.
Mormonism has been increasing its profile across the United States. Author Ron Rhodes says, although claiming to be Christians, Mormons depart from historical Christianity on a number of essential doctrines. In his book, The 10 Most Important Things You Can Say to a Mormon, Ron Rhodes provides fact-filled, easy-to-understand, and essential information to effectively witness biblical truths to people led astray by this false teaching. In this book, you'll discover tools you need to effectively talk to Mormons about their faith and guide them to the biblical God, the biblical Jesus, and the biblical gospel. You'll understand the Mormon's view of the Bible, the origin of the Book of Mormon, the consequences of not acknowledging the Trinity, and the inadequacy of a gospel of works.
The 10 Most Important Things You Can Say to a Mormon is available for a donation of $15 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, a program that comes your way each weekday afternoon at the same time, and we thank you for tuning in and encourage you to tell others about the information you learn through the broadcast. We're speaking today with Dr. Richard Schmidt of Prophecy Focus Ministries, and anti-Semitism is sadly alive and well here across these United States of America, and we are seeing much take place on the college university campuses. Just before we have our guest comment, I'm going to play an audio clip. This is a hearing that happened last Thursday, would have been, or a couple of Thursdays ago, February 29th, before the House of Representatives Education and Workforce Committee. They had this bipartisan roundtable, Jewish students from 9 American universities, to hear testimony about their experiences with anti-Semitism on campus. I'm just going to play one such testimony that came in before that hearing.
On the night of October 7th, when I and countless other Jewish students were desperately trying to see whether my siblings were alive or not, 34 student groups at Harvard, representing hundreds of students, jumped out of their beds, some in their pajamas, to draft what they called an emergency statement to blame Jews for the largest massacre of Jews since the Holocaust. I know these students. I sit in class with them. I share study halls with them. They publicly praise Hamas. They support the Houthis. They believe Hezbollah to be a legitimate political resistance group. To this day, Harvard has not condemned any one of these 34 student groups.
That's Harvard, but we could just say another, put it, you know, fill in the blank with universities across this nation.
Yes, well, we're talking about Harvard. We're talking about MIT. We're talking about the University of Pennsylvania. And as of this week, Berkeley, that just has gone insane when it comes to the anti-Semitic rhetoric that's going on. It's so unfortunate. I actually, believe it or not, I have gone to Harvard Kennedy School of Government. They do have some wonderful education pieces there. But when you were talking about this, the absolute atrocious, if you will, talk against the Jewish people, anti-Semitism, again, and you look, if they were to criticize any other group of people, any other ethnic group, boy, it would just be a hotbed of controversy. But because the Jewish people, in many minds, are apparently disposable or not as important as other ethnic groups, these horrific anti-Semitic things are taking place. So it's unfortunate. It's certainly ungodly. It's unbiblical. It's definitely against a biblical worldview. And what would you expect out of these university campuses that have basically gone woke, they've gone anti-God, and the rhetoric continues, and unfortunately those that are Jewish people in these particular campuses, they're going to suffer.
Friends, we're opening our phone lines here today on Crosstalk. If you have a question regarding issues we've talked about today, Israel and certainly the swords of iron and Israel defending herself and seeking to wipe Hamas off the face of the earth because Hamas denies Israel's right to exist, certainly also from Hezbollah, other aspects on this anti-Semitism, our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Dr. Schmidt, you are a student of Bible prophecy. I know you watched things through a different lens than much of the world does, certainly more than our legacy media does. What's your perspective of what's taking place today?
Well, again, when we look at everything combined and we look at the prophetic scenario, it's not surprising that any things are taking place. Right now, and I always like to go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says, know that in the last days, basically the last days of the church age, perilous, dangerous times and seasons will come. So it's not shocking this is taking place. Satan has been trying to wipe out Israel, the Jewish people, ever since they were formed. So it's not shocking that these things are taking place. So it's what we're seeing is it definitely fits into setting the stage, as Dr. Jimmy DeYoung used to say, setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled when the Antichrist literally is going to be the massive influence in this world and the Jewish people are going to suffer again.
So, friends, certainly look up. Your redemption draws nigh. We don't know the day nor the hour of Christ's return, but certainly we know that God is in control. And certainly God is the one who sets up and takes down, and we know his timing is perfect.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the phone lines. Our number 800-733-9829. Let's begin in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Dave, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for taking my call. Appreciate your program. Really good today. Say, I just wanted to add that I hope Netanyahu won't take Biden's suggestions and hold off, because he can't hold off. When Joshua went through the land, he destroyed everything, and it was at the hand of Yahweh, and it's recorded in Joshua 10:40. I don't have my Bible with me, but anyway, that's all I had. I hope he remains strong.
Thank you very much for your call. Dr. Schmidt, let me ask you this, because there are many who said, well, let's just have a six-week humanitarian ceasefire. Is there a danger in that?
Well, absolutely. Of course, every time you call ceasefire, what does it do? It gives everybody time to regroup, get their act together, try and figure out how to smuggle in more weapons, get your troops up and running, make more recruitments among the people in Gaza. So it's very dangerous. So, again, if the government's decided to pull a ceasefire for a certain amount of time to get the hostages out, if indeed that really worked, more power to them. But as we see, and I agree with what Dave just said, and I don't think Netanyahu's going to bend. I really don't. He knows the catastrophic results of allowing Hamas to remain, and it could be the elimination of a great part of Israel.
We've got Mark next in Monroe, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Mark.
Yeah, my question is, do you think Biden is on the verge of caving to Israel's defense based on the likes of the Squad, the infiltration of Islamists that have already infiltrated the government in favor of Sharia and the rest of the national anti-Semitism? And I guess the bottom line is if they could con him into believing that would put him over the hump in favor of winning the November election. My question.
Thank you, Mark. And let me ask you this, because we've seen this come up like in Hamtramck, Michigan, outside Detroit, and the number of Muslims going to the polls and voting. They would not cast votes for Joe Biden. We've had the Squad getting more vocal, as he's talking about. Is that kind of internal political pressure going to influence President Biden?
Well, again, President Biden and his folks that are running his campaign, no, not only does he need to keep the Palestinians happy, but he better keep the Christian community and the Jewish community happy, which happens to be a lot bigger than the Muslim groups within America. So he's walking a tightrope. He has to figure out how to run this line where he's not offending any of these groups. So is he going to totally cave? I don't think so. He can't afford to politically.
You're referring to Joe Biden with that,
correct?
Okay. We've got Andreas from New Mexico. Hi, Andreas. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I think America's better days are pretty much over. I want to say this. God has a hand in all this, because Chuck Schumer is Jewish. Harris's first husband is Jewish. Bernie Sanders. God has a, and many, many others. God has a hand in this, whether we realize it or not. Mm-hmm. So Biden really, as much as he wants to do, his hands are really tied, because God has a hand in all this. And I supplement for all the Christians to get into prayer, because no war is a good war. That's why they call it war. War is war. Thank you.
Thank you, Andreas, for your call here today. Your response?
Well, first of all, I'm not giving up hope. I believe that if God's people will get off the couch and get out and vote, and if God decides that he's going to switch this country around and give us a leader that's going to support Christians, going to support Jewish people, support folks, and do it in an honorable way, I'm not giving up hope that that's not a possibility. So I agree with Andreas that, yes, we need to pray. We need to see God. We need to turn from our wicked ways, so to speak, as God told the Jewish people in 2 Chronicles 7:14. So I'm not stopping the fight, folks. We've got to get off our blessed assurance, get out there and vote, make it known that we want to change, and let's do it. And I'm not talking about violence. I'm talking about getting folks to the polls, and let's make the votes that count for God's people.
We certainly need to have a heart change in this nation, do we not?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Let's have Mary next in West Des Moines, Iowa. Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. Well, I suggest that we all let our congressmen know Article 13 of the Covenant of the Islamic Resistance, and maybe we should just send them a copy of that whole, whatever they call that. But it says there is no solution for a Palestinian quest except through jihad.
Hmm.
I'm trying to read my writing. I copied it down. I can't get to my
okay.
Actions, proposals, and international conferences are all a waste of time and vain endeavors. That's what they say themselves. So, you know, it's just useless to bring it up because, number one, they want to wipe out Israel, they don't want to be coexistent.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. And really, Pastor Schmidt, as we go to the Quran itself, that's quotes right from the Quran.
I mean,
don't take the Jews or infidels as your friends. The Jews or Christians as your friends. They're infidels.
Mary is right on, and I 100% agree with her. It's nothing that the United States government doesn't know. They know all the rhetoric. They know what they think, but they don't really think that the Islamic people are really going to do what they say they're going to do. And that's why this two-state solution and all this nonsense keeps being pushed on them by our government, because our government is not Christian. They don't understand the scriptures, nor do they understand Islam. So, yes, Mary's absolutely right. I 100% agree with her. There will never, ever be a two-state solution because neither side will agree to it.
We've got Scott calling in from Clarksburg, West Virginia. Scott, you're on the air.
Yeah, I had a question. So in Job chapter 7, verse 1, it says, the life of man upon earth is a warfare. And basically, it's spiritual, physical, and social, political. All we're at war, you know, in this fallen world. And so as a Christian, should we try to avoid war or become the masters of the war?
Boy, that's a great question. I like it. Well, here's the bottom line. What did Jesus ask us to do? And what does the New Testament tell us to do? We're not ever told to prepare for physical war. We have a spiritual warfare. We're not to fight with carnal weapons, but with those which are spiritual. So our call is God's people. The only way that we can do things that will honor God and move things forward is to preach the gospel to as many people as possible. The only hope for America, the only hope for a world, is to receive Jesus Christ as one's personal Savior, and that's not going to happen through carnal warfare. Now, just to clarify, I'm not against war, I'm not against weapons, I'm not against defending yourself, but as Christians, we've been called to be ambassadors for Christ and to get the gospel message out.
Thank you for your call. We are up against a break, and so we'll pick up our next calls after the break. By the way, I've got a couple open phone lines here at 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Dr. Richard Schmidt is with us today from Prophecy Focus Ministries. Prophecyfocus.org is the website, and we'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. On Sunday night of this week, I started a brand new study on the book of Revelation, chapter 1, study 1. You can watch and listen at worldviewtube.com. Sadly, the book of Revelation is not taught by many pastors, and I'm thankful for the ones that do. But it's not taught for many reasons. One reason is because there is a belief that God is done with the nation of Israel. It's called replacement theology. And you know, the book of Revelation, of course, gets into the tribulation, which will be used by God to get the attention of the Jews. And praise the Lord, so many are going to come to Yeshua or Messiah, become great evangelists. And the Bible says so many are coming to Christ, it's almost impossible to number them. I'm thankful for the shepherds that are teaching the book of Revelation. I hope you'll study it with us and on your own. It's more relevant now than it has ever been. I'm Brandon House.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Richard Schmidt is with us today, a pastor of Union Grove Baptist Church, Union Grove, Wisconsin, and talking about Israel. And friends, the fact that we must not forget October 7th. Let's get right back to the phone lines. Jennifer is calling from Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. Hi, Jennifer. You're on the air.
Hi. I just had a question from something I saw from a trusted voice out of Israel, that there still are American hostages over in Gaza. I think there's six of them. And I'm just wondering if that's true. And if it is, why is nobody talking about that? Where are their families? And, you know, why is that being hidden, just even in the conservative media?
Thank you, Jennifer.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And we know why the liberal media isn't doing it, because that would fire up different people in America and put pressure on the administration. So the liberal media is going to cover it up. I can't explain why maybe more Christian, if you will, outlets aren't making it known. But the fact is, it is a fact. We don't even know if those individuals are alive. Again, we know that about 25% of the current hostages are dead, and we have no idea who they are. So is it a reason for President Biden to step up and go in there and get American citizens? Well, I think that's a great idea. Yeah, let's do it.
So these are both Israeli and other international hostages.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Let's go next to Michael in Dousman, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. So I've seen a couple of videos on this talking about, is it true that Hamas, part of the reason why Hamas attacked was because of these red heifers and the rebuilding of the third temple in Israel, and something about, I think it's in the book of Nehemiah where they say the Amasa flood, and they call it the Amasa typhoon. And I'm just wondering if that's true. I don't want to repeat it unless it is.
Thank you very much.
All right. So there's been a lot of discussion about the red heifers. I actually could do an hour program on that. The bottom line is this. Texas sent over, I believe, five red heifers a while back. They're basically reaching maturity level to where they could be allegedly sacrificed for purification for the third temple and for the priests. The issue is Israel is basically, and this is kind of hot off the press news, they just had a red calf that was born recently. And right now, Israel is leaning towards, at least some of the Orthodox Jewish people, that they would prefer to wait until this heifer that was born in Israel becomes mature, which is at least 2 to 3 years before they make that the official red heifer. So, yes, Palestinians have stated, whether it's true or false, we don't know, that that's trying to wipe out the red heifer issue. So I'll just leave it at that, because it would get lengthy to get into a complete discussion.
But one thing we do know is that this plan by Hamas had been long in the making to carry out their plan, and may even predate those Texas heifers from going over there as well.
Exactly, which is why it's a weak argument, and it's just a recent one that's come up, so it doesn't seem to have a tremendous amount of credibility.
Thank you, Michael, for your call. Roger is next in Marble, Minnesota. Roger, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering, how many Americans are still left being held by Hamas?
Well, again, according to our last caller, I believe, or two callers ago, I believe she's corrected. The number allegedly is six Americans that are still being held.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let's go next to Larry in Venice, Florida. Larry, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. Thanks for your work. I just wanted to say, you know, I think it's horrible that Biden or anyone really calls for Israel to stop protecting themselves against Hamas when we ourselves just spent 20-plus years in Afghanistan fighting ISIS and the Taliban. Who are we to tell them not to, to protect themselves? It's crazy.
Well, Larry, I couldn't agree more with you. I think that'll be the dominant opinion today, especially among the conservative crowd and Christians. So, yep, we support what you said.
Thank you, Larry. Let's go to Ed in Tennessee. Ed, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I'm wondering whether the second chapter of Haggai, is that a picture of the Gog and Magog War?
Well, the pictures basically of the Gog-Magog War are found in Ezekiel 38 and 39, Psalm 83, and basically these passages, the one that you mentioned, not necessarily involved with that type of a situation. So we'll just leave that up to the listeners to decide.
Yeah, so yeah, check out Ezekiel 38 and 39. And our final call today, Richard in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Richard, you're on the air.
Yes, talking about the elites in Congress and all them, they need to repent, especially the liberals. They need to repent. That's the problem. They don't want to repent. They go over there and they talk about the Lord, say prayer in the house, but they ain't repented in the heart. If they repent, the Lord will love them more than anything. But until they don't repent, they're going to be doing what he wants them to do, and they're going to be showing all the little secret chambers, and the Lord's going to bring it all out onto the rooftops.
Thank you very much, Richard, for your comment. And Pastor Rich, your comment back on this matter of repentance, and it's not just them liberals out there either.
Well, I think Richard brings up a good point, but we got to go a step further. It's not just about having a heart change. Anyone can change their heart, but will they actually do what God instructs us to do? Not just to have a change of thought, not just understand that we're sinners condemned because of our sin. What we need to do is make the next step. And that is Jesus Christ, God's Son, came down from heaven, died on the cross for our sins, and he offers salvation or freedom from the awful eternal lake of fire in Revelation 21:8 for all that reject Christ. So repentance is not going to do the trick. Turning to Jesus Christ, accepting him as his personal Savior, receiving the free gift of eternal life, that will change the heart. Bible makes it clear, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, when any person places their faith and trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within them. That's why you see a dominant opinion that we had today with Christians calling in. Why do we all have the same thoughts and the same mind? Well, it's because it's much more than repentance. It's receiving Jesus Christ. It's getting the Holy Spirit to dwell within you. And then we can have what we can call a truly biblical world view.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Richard Schmidt, our guest today, prophecyfocus.org. Pastor, thank you for being with us.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
And friends, these matters that are unfolding before us really do matter. And perhaps you're one listening today and you've never turn to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. May we encourage you to do so today. The Bible says today is the day of acceptance. Today is the day of salvation. To place your trust in Jesus Christ. He died, was buried, and he rose again the third day. That's the good news, friends. Amidst the world of turmoil today, Jesus Christ is alive and certainly very much in control. We thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. Israel, we must not forget October 7th.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.